Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope. Thank you for listening. We also would like to invite you to join us for worship at our church this morning. The California United Church of Christ meets at 101 North Oak Street. It's the church with the clock in the steeple. We have Sunday school at 9:30 with classes not just for kids but for all ages, and church is at 10:30. Pastor Cobb's sermon this morning is going to be Words for the Broken and Defeated, taken from Jeremiah 1. Hadley Milligan is going to have children's time, and our bell choir is going to play To God Be the Glory. It would be neat if you could join us. Again, thanks for listening to A Time of Hope. Our children's time is led by Kendra Hall.
What did I bring with me today? A pumpkin. And what did I carve in it? What's this? A heart. Well, let's talk about the heart first, okay? So, when we come to church, we talk a lot about putting Jesus where? In our hearts. So we talk a lot about accepting Jesus into our hearts. And we sing songs like, Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves the little children. So we talk a lot about love when we come to church, don't we? So I carved a heart on this side of the pumpkin. Now, and what did I have to pull out of the inside of this before, or while I was carving it? It's all kind of, look, it's gross, isn't it? Nobody wants to touch this slimy stuff, do they? Yeah, and it gets stuck on your hands and it makes your hands feel weird. It's pretty gross, isn't it? So this is kind of like the sin that's in our hearts or in our lives too, isn't it? When we want to pull that stuff out and get it out of there. Who kind of helps us to clean up our hearts and forgive us from our sins? God does, right? So if we have Jesus in our hearts and we ask for forgiveness when we mess up, and we have Jesus, God forgive us for our sins, and we talk a lot about how Jesus died for our sins. That's kind of like all the yucky stuff on the inside, isn't it? And then you guys keep mentioning that on the other side, what did I carve? A happy face, right? Well, Bruce said it too. So when you accept Jesus into your heart and you get rid of all those yucky sins, we're all happy, right? And at church, sometimes we sing songs like, If You're Happy and You Know It. And we sing lots of good songs about being happy, don't we? So accepting Jesus into our hearts makes us happy. And then what do you have to put inside of a jack-o'-lantern?
Light.
You have to put some sort of a light in there, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to bring a candle because I know kids, but I've got a flashlight here, so now there's some light on the inside, isn't there? Who do we talk about at church is our light? Jesus and God, yeah. They light up our world and they make us happy, and we have a light inside of us. It's not like a light that people can see, but when we walk around and we're happy, people might say, why are you so happy all the time? And then you could say, well, that's because I have Jesus in my heart, right? Let's say a little prayer, okay? Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Thank you for all of the adults who bring us to church so we can learn about you and accept you into our hearts. Help us to be a light for you this week and tell all of our friends about how much you mean to us and how you have changed our world since we accepted you into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our senior choir sings Heavenly Highway.
To the throne.
Our morning scriptures are read by Becky Snyder, followed by a sermon, The Valley of Achor, taken from Joshua 7, 10 through 26, by our guest speaker for the morning, Josh Mullins.
Our first lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 22 through 25. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will give their kings into your hand, and you shall make their name perish from under heaven. Not a man shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, says the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me Mabal. Here ends the second lesson. The third lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Here ends the final lesson.
Thank you. My name is Joshua Mullins. I am the lay pastor and treasurer of Central Church and a friend of Russell Cobb. He contacted me a couple months ago and asked me if I'd be willing to share this morning. And of course, I'm glad to do so, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do so. This time last year, I was in a five-month sermon study with an outfit out of Iowa for part of my seminary training. And we studied the book of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And I wrote a sermon series on it that I called The Wild, Wild East. So when Russell told me that he's doing a sermon series out of Joshua and Judges, and he called it The Wild Wilderness, I knew he and I were seeing eye to eye. And he said, Joshua, I'd like you to share out of a book that has a very inspired name. And I knew immediately he was talking about the book of Joshua, and he's right. It's a very anointed name. As we could tell, I was expecting more laughter on that one, but I didn't set that joke up well enough, I guess. But it is an inspired name. I still believe it. This morning in our sermon studies, the scripture readings, there's kind of a context there of sin. Moses warns Israel what to do, or what God's going to do for them, but also gives them a warning is not to take anything from the land, not to steal of its wealth or its riches, but to leave it be. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks to us about not giving the enemy a foothold in our life, the sins that we might take on in this day and age. In the book of Hosea, talks about the Valley of Achor. And the Valley of Achor is a sermon topic today, the sin that happened in the Valley of Achor in the book of Joshua, and how Joshua dealt with sin in his camp, and what God did with sin in Joshua's camp. Heavy message for a guest preacher, right? And by the way, I'm glad to be your substitute preacher. One bonus you get from a substitute preacher, just like in school, is we get to get out early. It's a short message. I wish I could have come on a Chief Sunday so you guys would have appreciated that more, but before we get on this, I do have to ask. I listened to Russell's message 2 weeks ago, and he gave you guys a challenge to be here last Sunday during that 8:45 Chiefs game, and I'll tell you, that was a temptation, I'm sure. I hope everyone made it, and I love how he put it. If God were to return, where would he find you that morning? The temptation in my life, I might have still been home watching the Chiefs game, but I'm glad you're all here. So we are starting in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 10, but before we get there, I'm gonna give you kind of a a preface of what's going on. We've heard the Bible study of Jericho and how God gave Jericho to Joshua without even raising so much of a sword, fulfilling his promise in the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua marched around Jericho, Jericho fell. And then Joshua, at the end of 6, warns them, again, do not take from the land. Do not take the silver, the riches. This is a ban. It's banned on Jericho. This is unclean in God's sight. And it was a clear message, go in there, destroy the city, and we're going to move on. But then he had a soldier named Ai, whose temptation to covet the wealth in that land was just too much. And let's see what God does with this sin. In verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them. And they've even taken some of the things under the ban and have been stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus the Lord, the God of Israel, has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. In the morning, then, you shall come near by your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes by a lot shall come near by the families. And the family which the Lord takes shall come near by the households. And the household which the Lord takes shall come near man by man. It shall be that the one who is taken with the things under the ban shall be burned with fire, he and all that belongs to him, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has confirmed a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel near to the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the family of Judah near. He took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites near by man, and Zabdi was taken. He brought this household near man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah was taken. And then Joshua said to Achan, my son, I implore you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give praise to his name and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. So Achan answered Joshua and said, truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did when I was among the spoil and a beautiful mantle from the Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. When I coveted them, I took them, and behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was concealed in this tent with the silver underneath it. They took them from the inside of the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the sons of Israel, and they poured them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son of Zerah, the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that belonged to him, and they brought them up to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones. It stands to this day. And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. I pray that you open the ears of our hearts and with your Holy Spirit, fill us with the hope of your word. Father God, I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to speak your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whoa. Substitute preacher brought a heavy word today, didn't he? It's not one that I'd like to do when I'm visiting churches, but it's a necessary word. It's a very difficult word. As you guys go through the book of Joshua and the book of Judges, there's a constant refrain in the book of Judges. During this time in Israel, Israel did not have a king, so the people did as they desired. And God continued to raise up generals like Joshua and judges throughout the book of Judges to save Israel, and gives them the same command through both of these books. Shy away from the Canaanites. Do not take from them their land. Do not marry within their tribes. Keep what is the Lord's and trust in the Lord, and he will bring victory to you. And they do this time and time again, but there's always that temptation of sin. There's always that temptation to covet or even to doubt God, just like Achan did in this message. And it's a difficult message. But we're going to break it down into four parts. We see four things happening in this that sin does in the lives of individuals and what sin did in Israel at this time. One thing sin does is it brings shame. It destroys the fear and the hope that is in the believer and in mankind, and it brings shame instead of hope. You see that in the beginning in verse 10, when God calls Joshua and he says, "Why are you on your face? Why are you hiding yourself from me? Stand up. What has happened?" And God shares with Joshua the sin that has taken place. Sin separates us from God, and we see that in the very beginning of this. It causes us to hide our face. Where we once had hope and faith, where we once had the joy of the Lord, and remember, they just walked out of Jericho. They were praising God's name. They're marching around the city. The city fell. They saw the glory of God in all of his splendor and his victory promised in the book of Deuteronomy. And then within one moment of sin, Joshua's on his face in shame. Sin separates us from the presence of God. Sin separates us from faith, from hope, from the very joy of the Lord. So the first thing God does is he calls Joshua to stand. Where have we seen this before where sin causes someone to hide from God? In the very first book, Adam and Eve, where they once had the garden and they had joy, but they had one instruction, don't eat of the apple. And it wasn't an apple, it was fruit. And they went from pure joy to pure shame. And they hid themselves. Why would they hide from God? God, like then, said, come forth. And he said to Joshua, come forth. Second thing sin does is it separates the congregation. It separates people. The first thing God called Joshua to do is to bring the tribes and the houses together during this time. They had just been defeated. There was shame throughout Israel. That doubt was felt. But God wanted to bring the congregation together. Now, very different type of congregation than the kind of congregation we have today. This is a tougher time. We're in the wild kingdom, as I like to call it, the wild, wild east. When Joshua brought the congregation together, and imagine if church was like this. He brought them house by house, tribe by tribe, person by person, before all of Israel, until they found the one person that made the mistake. And that was Achan. Sin separates us from fellowship. Many times in my life when I've been in a dark place or a hard place or where I have shame in my life, one of the last things I want to do is wake up and go to church. I'm afraid that my sin might be exposed before other people. People might see that I'm not perfect. I don't want that judgment. I know there's many people that are afraid to come to church because they don't think they're perfect or good enough. And that fear and that shame is on them because they don't know the hope and the joy that is found here. Sin separates congregations, but Joshua brings them forward. And could you imagine coming to church, being the one sinner in the congregation, and you're led up front in front of everybody else to confess it, like Achan had to do here? I couldn't. Very different time, wasn't it? Welcome to the wild, wild east, a time when men were ruled by the sword instead of obeying God. Third thing sin does is it stops our worship. See here in verse 26 what he called Achan to do. Glorify God. Bring praise back to his name. Repent of your sin. In my life, when I have doubt and I have fear and I'm trying to do things on my own and I fall down this slippery, insidious slope, I lay awake at night and I worry. And worry. And I don't know if any of you do this, but I overthink everything. And I've got to take a Benadryl or two just to go to sleep. And instead of running to God, like I should with all of my faith and the hope, I try to outthink my thinking. And this just leads down an even darker rabbit trail where I find myself just covered in doubt because I'm worrying about something I can't control. And then I ask myself, what are you doing? Get up, go find your quiet place. Talk to Jesus. Talk to God. Praise his name. Worship his name on high. Give him my fears. Confess my sins. Confess my doubts. Confess the mistake I made that day or the anger I may have shown like they talk about in the book of Ephesians. And immediately joy is restored. Immediately there's peace. And then I ask myself, why didn't I just start there? I bet Joshua was thinking the same thing. Why did we turn away? Why didn't we just keep our eyes on Jesus or on God? It wasn't Jesus at the time, was it? Why don't we just keep our eyes on God? Why were we defeated in Ai? Why did we try to do things on our own? Why were we tempted by the things of this world? And it's the moment we turn to Jesus and confess that shame, that doubt, and that fear is lifted. But, and the fourth thing we find in the passage here, sin must be dealt with. And this is a harsh penalty. The wages of sin is death, nothing else. A sacrifice. Sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. God is light, and that light draws the darkness away. Sin cannot dwell in his presence. Sin cannot dwell in his camp. And he's very clear about that in this book. And this is a hard, hard message. But after Achan worshiped God, after he lifted his voice in confession and repented, look what happened. He, his family, his animals, his pets. Imagine your pet dog being punished for something you did. Your cat, your goldfish, everything he owned, all of his possession, was stoned and burned and destroyed because sin has to be dealt with. And that's where this passage ends today. It's heavy. What kind of a preacher would I be if I ended it there, though? The humorous guy in me wants to be like, well, God bless you. Happy Sunday. Take that home with you. I bet you won't sin today. And if you did, I brought plenty of stones for all of you. I can't throw one because I deserve one for myself. This happened in the Valley of Achor. And actually, it closes with this. And that place was known as the Valley of Achor to this day. Achor is a place of despair, of shame, of doubt. There is no hope there. It is a desert. And to this day, it is north of Lebanon, still a desert, still cursed, still in the midst of war and chaos. It is a dark, dark place. And I want to really lay that thick. It was where sin was faced with death. But it's not the only place in the Bible that the Valley of Achor is mentioned. In our scripture studies today, it's mentioned again in Hosea 2. And as I read Hosea 2, I want us to compare what happened the first time in the Valley of Achor when God dealt with sin. There's a candle there that was warm. And the second time God deals with Israel's sin. Quick road from Joshua to Hosea. Joshua, God rose up a general in Joshua to lead the armies. After Joshua passed, God rose up judges, didn't he? And each judge worse than the previous. That book of Judges is a hard read. This is why I focused on the Valley of Achor, because Israel continues to sin. They continue to fall. After the judges fail and Israel forgets its worship and loses its worship in God, God raises up a king in Saul and in David and in Solomon. And they build the temple. They build a place where God can dwell amongst his people, but Israel continues to sin. So God raises up prophets. God's throwing everything he's got at him, isn't he? To share the hearts of men and the sin that is there. And here in the book of Hosea, we find Israel, and he compares Israel as to that of a harlot. At this point, Israel has taken all the spoils of the land. She has not turned her heart to God. She's given her heart to Baal and the things of this world. She's adorned with the silver and the jewelry and the perfume. She has many lovers, all but God. And God has to deal with her sin once and for all. Again, he has sent generals, judges, kings, prophets, and once and for all, he has to deal with this sin. But hear the language in this Bible. After he strips Israel of all of her possessions and finds her barren in a lonely desert, he says this to her. In verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak kindly to her. And then I will give her a vineyard from there, and in the Valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me husband and no longer call me master. For I will remove the names of the Baals from your mouth, which were the false gods, so that they will never be mentioned by their names no more. Can we hear the language that's being spoken here? How did God deal with Israel's sin? He took her back to the Valley of Achor, a valley of despair, in the depth of her greatest sin, and he gave her a prophetic word. See the language he used, and you will call me husband. Who do we call husband? I will give you a vineyard in the valley. I'll give you fruit where there is death. This reference is a reference to Jesus Christ. And you will be my bride. You will no longer call me master. So God deals with our sin once and for all, doesn't he? The wages of sin is death. But we could not do it ourselves. No matter who he sent or how many times he tried, we failed. But he loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That through him, all of the shame, all of the fear, all of the doubt that's in our lives would be redeemed, forgiven, and we would have the victory of Jesus Christ in our lives. Sin was finally dealt with on the cross. And understand, throughout the entire Old Testament, the many attempts of mankind that failed, but it took one, the Son of God, to forgive us of all our sins. And now, today, I'm grateful for Jesus, because he changed fellowship, didn't he? He changed church. Today, when we make a mistake or sin, or we slip or fall or have doubt, we can run boldly before the throne room of grace and speak to our Father in any moment and find peace and forgiveness. We can gather together as a congregation, and this is my favorite part, we can gather together as a congregation encouraging one another in faith, even during our mistakes, and none of us are carrying stones. And the best part, no matter where I'm at, I can sit at the feet of Jesus and thank him and praise him and worship him for what he has done. It is by God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we have the grace to fellowship and walk by faith. Aren't we so glad for that? Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. And I pray that it did bring hope, Father God, to anyone who's here who may be struggling with doubt or fear. I pray, Father God, that you show us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the joy and the love and the hope that you have for us is through him. He finished the curse of sin. Death, where is your sting? Father God, I thank you for this word and your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's the hard part of the wild wilderness. There's very few good stories in there. They keep getting darker, don't they? I dropped my order of worship, and if I don't pick it up, the rest of this is going to be a mess. As you go through the book of Judges, see and try to find where God shows victory and points to the cross.